So then the question is, you know, what do you do for this patient? And I told him, here's the deal. You know, in the old days, in the days of the, when I was trained by the giants, Bob Ginsburg at Memorial, eyes on the end of his fingertips, everyone got mediastinoscopy, surgical confirmation of the mediastinum. And I said, this is fine. But I wasn't even advocating necessarily for histologic proof of his N2 disease right now in his AP window because I don't think it's critical. What I think is critical for this patient is to get systemic induction therapy. And honestly, for this patient, off protocol, now that's an important critical issue here. We're not treating him on protocol. But off protocol, I recommended for this patient systemic full dose chemotherapy, right? Because the systemic chemotherapy is what's doing the heavy lifting here. And what's going to take any 3A patient down, any lung cancer patient, sadly, is not kind of what you see and what we're going to take care of with local control, let's say surgery or possibly even definitive chemoradiation, right? It's systemic disease. So you got to get full-dose systemic therapy. And that, I think, is one of the fallacies and problems with, you know, weekly carboplatin. You don't get a full dose. In any event, so I told him, back to his referring oncologist, systemic induction chemotherapy. After two cycles, we'll restage him. And at that point, that's when I think the surgical staging of his mediastinum becomes more important to make sure that he doesn't have persistent N2 or even contralateral paratracheal N3 disease, which there's no evidence of, right? And then at that point, we consider a surgical resection. And my bent in this otherwise healthy 60-year-old gentleman, you know, good performance status, is if he's had a response to the systemic therapy, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt as long as he hasn't progressed, right? If he progresses on chemotherapy, and this becomes one of the standard issues with not so much the oncologists, I wouldn't say, but with the patients. They say, well, come on, doc. And especially if there are any surgeons listening, with the surgeons who say, now, time out, David. Here's a patient potentially resectable, right? Maybe or maybe not N2, single station, you know, AP window, they do well with surgery anyway. It's more like N1.5, more like kind of stage 2 disease, really. There are 30-40% 5-year outcomes surgery alone. So why don't we just, and I have time on the schedule tomorrow, my mortgage to pay, et cetera, let's just get this done. And then we'll let the oncologist mop up, which is fine. And that's why adjuvant chemotherapy, you know, has become the rage. And sadly, tragically, the surgical community has never embraced and we've never succeeded in delivering new adjuvant trials in this country.
I just want to clarify, though, you're saying in this off-study situation, you want to see him get induction chemo without radiation therapy?
That's right. Because the reason I wouldn't offer him radiation therapy right now is I don't think he critically needs it. In other words, it's not like you have a mass, and without an x-ray, it's hard for, of course, anyone to visualize this. But I would just tell you, the mass is in the parenchyma of the lung, not crawling up on the left main pulmonary artery, not socked into the mediastinum, not where we need the maximum cytoreduction, right, of chemoradiation to hope that the mass will recede off the main PA to allow you to do a lobectomy or sleeve lobectomy or whatever. So in this case, I think really what you want to do is, and this is the beauty of these new adjuvant approaches, right? And this is not rocket science, Neil. I mean, you know, colon cancer, breast cancer, it's how it's done, right? You can give the drugs as a window of opportunity, right? You give the chemotherapy. These are active platinum doublet agents, and we'll talk about which ones and some new changes about that. You give them, patients tolerate it great. They're working, they're part, you know, it doesn't knock them back at all. It doesn't up the ante for surgery, and we can talk about how to finesse that. And then you see if the drugs work on that patient's tumor in their body in real time. Now, if you take the disease, the evaluable disease out for stage 3A for sure, or even stage 2, the problem with all the adjuvant data is what? Well, you don't really know. And at the end of the day, you're basing it on 1 to 2 to 3, you know, relatively good to flawed, large to not so large adjuvant studies that had a 4 to 5 to 10% survival benefit, right? And not huge home run benefits. But in this patient, you give the chemotherapy and you'll see in 2 cycles, you know, if in fact it's working on his or her, in this case, his tumor. And then if it's working really well, we would actually, again, this is all off protocol, but this is how where the rubber meets the road for us on a daily basis. This every day in clinic. If it's working really well, we'll give him 1 more cycle, presuming he's tolerating it and the drugs are working. 1 more cycle, let him recover 3 to 4 weeks, bone marrow back, he's back. Then we'll go ahead and do his surgery. And we'll do his lobectomy, you know, nothing so special by our group versus any other experienced thoracic surgical group. But as long as they have experience, we'll deliver the goods with a 1% or less mortality. I mean, it's amazing.
I guess we should say, I mean, it's my impression that this strategy that you just described is pretty much not being used much at all.
No, and I think this is the problem. And, you know, because one, it takes some communication and coordination between the surgeons and the oncologists, right? And of course, here is the, quote, hybrid surgeon who is trying to say, no, no, it's okay. I know you could use an operation today and we could, you know, maybe it's stage two only and we could cure you with that and that's the standard of care and you get adjuvant chemotherapy and then let's get over it. But I think for him, what we're doing is we're talking to the oncologist and saying, no, let's give him induction chemotherapy, right? And you don't really lose anything. If the tumor were to progress on, you know, a platinum doublet, and someone said, well, look, so you had this opportunity, you could have, quote, resected him, cured him today. The answer is, of course, that is wrong. If you progress on platinum, you know, on a platinum effective doublet regimen, you're not going to do well with surgery. And patients understand that, and most of the, you know, oncologists get that. And he will get effectively restaged, you know, in a couple of months after two cycles. And I think just one other thing, Neil, to talk about is, look, at the end of the day in the 3A populations, the neoadjuvant trials, if you look historically, I trained at Memorial back in '06 or whatever, but no, you know, in the dark ages of MVP and Niall Martini, and I know you're from that realm, you know, those small phase two studies, pilot studies at numerous centers, both Toronto, New York, the East Coast, et cetera, showed a 30% response rate for the most part, but there was toxicity. But the point is, the patients who benefited the best from any neoadjuvant study in any cancer type is when you completely downstage them, right, with the systemic therapy. If you get a complete pathologic response at the time of surgery, even in the Kathy Albane's 0139 trial, those patients who had biopsy-proven 3AN2 disease, their survival went from a predicted 20-30% at 5 years to what? Over 50%, right? Because they got downstaged from, you know, biopsy-proven N2 after chemo, those were chemo radiation, 40% had their nodes sterilized to stage equivalent of TX, T1, N0, and they behave more like stage 1 patients.